Restaurant and bar where cuisine meets purpose.
H.M. Holloway, family-owned and operated for over 85 years, the leading producer of gypsum and other soil amendments in Central California. The Holloway Red Ribbon Service puts farmers, family, soil, and community first. So put the Red Ribbon Service from H.M. Holloway to work for you. It's a trusted name with farmers for over 85 years. Visit their website, hmholloway.com, or call the Paso Robles office, 805-369-2000. Fox Sports Update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Chris Perfett.
Happy birthday to Lamar Jackson, turning 29 years old today. Of course, one thing he might be wanting for his birthday is a new head coach. Some of the names being attached to the job on Wednesday from insiders include Chargers defensive coordinator Jeff C. Minter and Dolphins defensive coordinator Anthony Weaver. Of course, as for John Harbaugh, CBS Sports is reporting that he's gotten interest from seven teams within minutes of the news breaking that he had been dismissed. Of course, there's only six teams not named the Ravens with head coaching vacancies at present. Two major college football players are declaring their intention to leave college early and declare for the NFL draft on Wednesday. Alabama quarterback Ty Simpson and Ohio State defensive back Caleb Downs both made their intentions known on social media. Washington quarterback Damon Williams Jr. announced on social media he is entering the transfer portal, but last week Williams had signed a contract with the program to return in 2026.
Fox Sports Update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, during the governor's summit on agricultural viability in Idaho, American Farmland Trust announced a new initiative called Thriving Farms and Ranches. The summit explored the challenges of balancing the growth of cities and towns with Idaho's valuable agricultural economy, as working lands are lost at an alarming rate. AFT will work to ensure farmers and ranchers can be financially secure, invest in the future of their operations, and attract the next generation of farmers. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins announced a number of coordinated actions that emphasize American agriculture research and innovation under the USDA's National Farm Security Action Plan. The plan will ensure ideas stay in America or with our allies and not with hostile nations, and that we put American farmers and ranchers first. These actions strengthen transparency around foreign ownership of U.S. ag land and ensure federal programs and purchasing preferences don't support foreign supply chains. The Senate will rescind roughly $21 billion in unspent federal funds originally designated for broadband programs, setting up a potential debate over how that money should be spent. The legislation targets a portion of the Broadband Equity Access and Deployment, or BEAD, program that's not been allocated to states. BEAD was created in the 2021 Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act to expand high-speed internet access to underserved areas.
For over 40 years, the Ag Information Network has been providing news and information for the most important industry in the world, agriculture. The Ag Information Network gives you worldwide updates from local producers to regional organizations, from major crops like wheat and corn to animal agriculture to specialty crops like apples, almonds, and cherries. We report on stories that mean the most to you. Online at aginfo.net, the Ag Information Network, trusted and transparent journalism lasting for the next generation.
The best place to reach a farmer with a farming solution message is when they're, well, farming. It's easy to find them during the day, as most farmers are behind the wheel of their pickup truck or farm equipment with the radio on, listening to this station for the Ag Information Network of the West News. So reach real farmers right here, right now, as they listen to what's important to their farm operation. Give us a call and we'll connect you with our local farming community. They trust us, so they'll trust you.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Pass Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Pass Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages are mixed in afternoon trading as investors weigh rising geopolitical tensions. The Dow is losing momentum and on track to snap a three-session winning streak. Tech is gaining and lifting the tech-heavy NASDAQ. Labor data is in the spotlight today. ADP's December report on private sector employment showed that 41,000 jobs were added during the month, slightly missing expectations, while job openings fell slightly to 7.1 million in November from 7.4 million in October, according to the Labor Department's JOLTS data. And GameStop shares are up 6%. The video game retailer has revealed a compensation package for its CEO Ryan Cohen worth around $35 billion, hinging on a turnaround that requires him to lift the struggling video game retailer's market value more than tenfold and sharply boost its profits. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
If you're over 40 and plan to retire someday, the window to protect what you've built may be smaller than you realize. As retirement moves from someday to on the horizon, protecting what you've built becomes just as important as growing it. And that's where Noble Gold Investments comes in. They help investors reduce risk by adding gold and silver to their portfolios. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com, NobleGoldInvestments.com. Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals involves risk. Consult with your tax or financial professional before making investment decisions.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location. Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more. Call Delta Liquid Energy, 805-239-0616, or go online, DeltaLiquidEnergy.com. What should you look for when choosing an insurance agent? Experience is a key quality. A good agent responds promptly. It gives you clear explanations, letting you know exactly all the details of your policy. And a good agent has good listening skills, and a good agent takes the time to understand your unique situation. A good agent, like Kevin Hunt Insurance, 105 South Main Street in Templeton. Call 805-434-3276.
Hi, this is Sunny from the Floral Parlor right next to Bridge Sportsman in downtown Paso Robles. When you're grabbing your guns, grab some roses. Because friends don't let friends buy grocery store flowers, please support my small local flower shop. Swing by the Floral Parlor and say hello and receive a free mini bouquet. Yes, a free bouquet. We're a full-service florist serving and delivering beautiful fresh flowers on the Central Coast. Check out our website, thefloralparlor.com. We're on Spring Street across from the Boot Barn. See you soon.
Hello from the Groves on 41, where olive oil is our favorite subject.
Yes, and we are seeing an increasing awareness of the health benefits of olive oil, not just for your heart, but your brain and your skin, too. I'm drinking it. Consuming more olive oil is easy with our crazy flavors, like cinnamon, raspberry, rosemary, and more. You could have olive oil for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and dessert.
Schedule a tasting and tour at the Groves on 41, or visit us at a farmer's market Saturday mornings in Templeton, Tuesday mornings in Paso, and want to learn more? Go to thegrovesonforty1.com.
Do you worry about where to take your car for repairs? Who you can trust? Mike and his team at the Autobahn are a safe bet. Located in Templeton, behind the donut shop, just off Main Street. They service Mercedes, BMWs, Volkswagens, Porsches, and Audis. And the Autobahn is certified in those cars and in repairing Land Rovers, Volvos, and Mini Coopers. Call the Autobahn, 434-2200.
The men who came to dinner had to wait through an hour of insults from their host before the first course was served. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
We've heard a lot of talk lately about it just being a matter of time before we normalize our relations with Castro's Cuba. The talk got its first big push last fall when two U.S. senators, one a Democrat, one a Republican, took off for Havana with a bevy of newsmen, but without approval from the State Department. We haven't had diplomatic relations with Cuba for some 15 years, but the senators thought they'd engage in some personal diplomacy to see if Mr. Castro had softened up a bit. He treated them to a one-hour vitriolic harangue against the United States. If our two senators were indignant about the insult, they didn't show it. They sat down to dinner with him as if nothing had happened. About the same time, a privately endowed group, the Commission on U.S.-Latin American Relations, sent the president a 54-page report urging that we lift the embargo on trade with Cuba. We're hearing a steady drumbeat of like-minded newspaper and magazine articles. Why the concerted campaign to open trade and diplomatic relations with the Cuban dictator, whose people have lived since 1959 in egalitarian poverty? Surely the yearning for Havana cigars can't be that great. The rationale seems to be that there's nothing to be gained in continuing the isolation of Castro's communist island, therefore we should be gentle to him. Very little has been said of what we should expect from him in exchange for a lifting of the embargo and for recognition by the United States. If, in fact, the time has come for us to reevaluate our Cuban policy, let's do it with a solid quid pro quo in mind. That's Latin for something. I give you this, you give me that, we make a deal. It's done every day by millions of people in their business and personal transactions. At the November meeting of the Organization of American States, the United States abstained from voting on a resolution to lift the trade embargo on Cuba. Well, now, that's better than voting yes, but it's not as good as voting no. The resolution didn't get the required vote, but it was close. Before we change our position, let's define the quo that we want for our quid. Let's demand satisfactory answers from Castro to these questions. First, what will he do about Soviet military bases in the island? They should be removed. Second, what will he do to assure the other nations of the Western Hemisphere that he will no longer train, equip, and support communist guerrillas in other American states? A free and open inspection program in Cuba might help. Third, what will he do about the $1.5 billion worth of U.S. citizens' property his government seized? Fourth, what will he do to assure former Cubans, now U.S. citizens, of the freedom to visit Cuba unhindered and without harassment? Fifth, what will he do to guarantee the restoration of individual freedoms to the people of Cuba? Now, he may argue that that question interferes with the internal affairs of his nation, and that's a little odd, because he's been interfering in the internal affairs of other Latin American nations for 15 years and never on the side of individual liberty. Instead of U.S. senators making fools of themselves and instead of self-appointed study groups suggesting we hand Castro what he wants, let's do some good old-fashioned horse trading. In the process, maybe we can bargain the bombastic dictator into restoring liberty to his people. They need it. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by K-Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000-square-foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. I am your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. And today I have San Luis Obispo County Sheriff Ian Parkinson on the show. And I'm going to tell you why. The amount of misinformation and bad behavior that has been going on as the Trump administration has been trying to take out of our country, especially criminal immigrants. And there's been a lot of issues with law enforcement, not just ICE. There have been a lot of issues. There's a lot of misinformation. I have read some of these cards telling, you know, don't open your car window and they're not going to go after you. So today we're going to try to go through the questions that need to be asked about this. But I'm going to start by bringing up what's called the Truth Act. Back in 2016, there was a bill signed by the governor, passed by the legislature in California. It's called the Transparent Review of Unjust Transfers and Holds Act. It primarily requires local law enforcement, for example, at the jail, they have to tell the inmate if ICE is seeking to speak to them and only allow that to happen if they want to. I think I'm getting this right. They have to give them copies of ICE detainers and let the inmate know about that. And they have to conduct an annual public forum. I don't know why, but almost every time they have a Board of Supervisors meeting for a couple months now, you have a group of people come in and demean the Sheriff's Department, make a lot of wild claims about they're doing this wrong, they're breaking the law. I want to find out right now, what are the issues? And we'll get this from Ian himself. Can you explain to me what you're doing? Are you complying to that law?
Well, yeah. So there's a couple laws that you really have to understand. And you mentioned one, and that was the Truth Act. That's what we call it. And basically, you're right. It requires us to notify the person in custody that ICE is asked to speak with them. They have a right to refuse. They sign a form. It's in could be multiple languages if they don't speak English. And then we have to, by law, deny access to ICE to interview them. Then along in 2017 came SB 54, Senate Bill 54, the Trust Act, excuse me. That is the thing that really changed what we can do when we could talk to ICE. But I'll back up for 1 second because I think it's important for people to hear. Local law enforcement has not enforced immigration in decades. Prior to even these acts coming out that say that we can't, we already could not. It was already in policy. We weren't detaining people for immigration. We weren't calling people that we believe were here illegally. That was not an enforceable law by us. But the law, the SB 54, made it sound like we were. The second issue that came out of the Trust Act was detainers. When somebody comes into custody, they're fingerprinted. The fingerprint goes through the federal database. And so ICE immediately knows that we have somebody in custody with their identified fingerprints who they may be interested in. Either they know they've been they know they're undocumented, or they know they've been removed before. So that law, though, that was embedded into SB 54 was already decided by two federal court decisions that said it's not lawful because it's not a judicially signed detainer. It has to be due process, which requires a judge to make that decision. So that's why they weren't even when in 2017 when they passed SB 54, it still was our rules that we could not honor a detainer. The only value of a detainer now, it tells us, because they ship them over to us as soon as the person's booked almost, that they are interested in that person. It doesn't give us authority to hold them any longer. We have to notify them that ICE has made a request to hold. But it's really a worthless piece of document other than telling us that ICE is interested in that individual. So most of what is in SB 54 was already practiced and being done. They added some nuances, and here's the important part of SB 54. Basically, SB 54 says we cannot communicate with ICE on anybody unless they have a conviction of a listed crime, a violent crime, a serious crime, conviction. So they could come in for rape, and we could not contact ICE unless they had a prior violent conviction. That was the law. So what we do at the county jail, and I'll separate it for a second, because all the police departments and my patrol deputies, they don't deal with immigration whatsoever. They don't enforce it. They don't stop. They don't assist in detention for immigration already. It really affects the jail. So when we get a detainer request, we have to look their criminal history up. And if they have one of those disqualifying 54 crimes, meaning they've been convicted of a prior serious crime, then they are not immune or qualified under SB 54. So that is when we can communicate with ICE and say, we will turn this person over. We still can't hold them any longer than we ordinarily would. So if they're due to be released, if they bail out, if ICE is not there, if we tell them we're releasing them in, you know, at 8 o'clock in the morning and ICE is not there, we have to release them. So we don't have the right to extend their stay with us with this. But basically, we're taking the people that have been criminally convicted of these serious crimes, and we're taking them off the street, turning them over to ICE, as opposed to releasing them and then having ICE go into neighborhoods and take that person and anybody that's with them that might be undocumented. And that's what we're trying to avoid.
For the serious crimes.
For the serious crimes.
And you also have to abide by federal warrants, correct?
Correct. So we get notified of a federal warrant just like any other warrant, and we honor those, so we turn those over as well to ICE.
But not in the front door. You don't. They don't come out in the lobby.
No,
that would be done through the back, correct?
If we're turning them over to ICE, we turn them over in a secured portion of the facility in the vehicle sally port. If they're just being released because they were arrested on a misdemeanor, being cited out the next morning into court, everybody gets released the same way. There's a fallacy out there, and I think it's important to clear up. There's two important laws. So California peace officers have the authority to arrest somebody without a warrant as long as we have probable cause to believe they've committed a crime. And in a felony case, it could be outside of our presence, but we have evidence that they did this. On a misdemeanor, we have to witness it in order to arrest them. So if you punch somebody, we got to see it. If we get there and this person says the other person punched them, we didn't see it, they have to make a citizen's arrest in order to be a lawful arrest. The federal government under USC 1357 A2 basically is the same thing that says that they have the authority to detain, arrest a person without the warrant if they have a reason to believe a violation of federal law has occurred. So they have the same authority under the U.S. code as opposed to the California Penal Code.
So this is huge. What you're saying, it's a crime to come into the country illegally. And if they find someone's come into the country illegally that they're dealing with, they don't need a warrant. Is that what you're saying?
That is correct. They do not need a warrant. They have authority, just like California police officers do, based on their information they have to make a detention or an arrest. Now, certainly the same as us is if they make an unlawful arrest, meaning this person was a, quote, U.S. citizen and they arrested him anyways, they could be liable for that. Same as us. If we arrest somebody that did not commit the crime, we could be liable. But they have authority to make an arrest without a warrant. The majority of our arrests, local law enforcement, come from a probable cause arrest, not a warrant. So it's very similar, but it's codified in two different areas. Ours for California Penal Code, theirs for United States Code.
And one of the things I do want to bring up while we're talking about warrants is they're people that are training people to, they call them rapid responders. They're people that come in and yell and scream and blow horns and whistles and demand warrants. I spoke to a deputy, and he told me he was at an apartment building making an arrest and was surrounded by this group, and they told him they knew he was ICE. He informed them that he was not ICE and said, I'm not, but I'll show you my badge. I'll give you my name. I'll give you my number. And then they demanded that he hand out the warrant to them to examine. I want to know, can you give a warrant? If you've got a warrant to go arrest somebody, do you share it with anybody that walks by?
No. No, you can't share that information. And besides, they don't need a warrant, and that person is dangerously getting close to interfering. Now, the fact that they're giving out their name and ID or a badge number, totally appropriate. Under the right circumstances, in the right moment, I expect deputies to do that. If you notice, uniformed deputies always have their name tag on and always have a badge on with a badge number. Obviously, you know, viewable by them. Those are our standards and have been our standards for decades. I'm glad to hear the story that they provided it, because it's easy to verbally provide it. But if you're in the midst of an arrest and people are yelling for that, that's not the moment to get that information. Once the person's secured, then that information should be given.
And there was another case, and I got this from someone in the DA's office. They said that when you went to, and I got this from someone in the DA's office, they probably got it from an officer or a deputy, but when the man that is accused of murdering his girlfriend in Royal Grande was arrested in Santa Maria, and that when they went down to do the arrest, they were surrounded by people, a number of people who were blowing whistles and trying to warn the suspect. Is that was that true, and does that endanger officers?
Well, that is I can't state factually it is true, because I didn't see that portion of it. Is that unusual? No, particularly now when the rhetoric is to challenge law enforcement, ask for things that they're not entitled to or they don't receive. Now, here's something I'll mention to you, and this is the important part to me when it comes to ICE. Under the U.S. The United States Code, Section 1324, that basically says that you cannot harbor, shield, interfere with a federal officer, or it becomes a federal felony. So those people that interfere, jump in the way of a nice car to stop it, try to interfere with the arrest, they're guilty of a federal crime potentially. And that's the danger. Not only is it unsafe for everybody, but it's a crime, and it's a problem. And it's when the rhetoric just increases, that's where we start to see this accelerated energy, this accelerated emotion that gets people into trouble. And they're professing law that they don't know the law. It's like the old days, and we saw on any police show, as soon as somebody got arrested, the officer's reading the person their rights. No, that's not required. And we've had people to say, you can't, you arrested me and you blew it because you didn't read me your rights. No, the right reading comes when you're in custody and you're attempted to get interrogated. You don't need to be read your rights. If you're not going to get questioned, you don't ever get your rights, you know, at that point. So there's a lot of misinformation, and local law enforcement is caught in the middle, because we have to follow California law and we have to follow federal law. We can't hinder them from doing their job. In basic immigration, we don't enforce it and we don't get involved in that. But when somebody doesn't qualify under the Truth Act, SB 54, we have a duty and obligation. And my duty and obligation comes to the safety of the community. I don't want to put somebody that's been convicted of a serious crime back out on the street when they have a want from ICE. Number two, I don't want ICE going into neighborhoods. I don't think that's particularly safe either, particularly with the rhetoric that's going on. And three, putting them back into a situation where they've been convicted of felony spousal abuse and putting them back in that house when they're undocumented is not safe either. So it's balancing what is the California law and what's the federal law. And if it doesn't meet California law, then I have an obligation to communicate with ICE and cooperate with ICE. Otherwise, that 1324 of the United States Code applies to me as well for interfering. So in other words, if I'm releasing people from being in custody, I can't put the one that they want out the back door and hide them. A judge was recently convicted of doing that.
Yes.
And I can't I can't do anything special. We do the same rules. ICE knows they're there already. They know they have a want for them already. They can see jail booking logs, which are public. They can see who's in custody log, when they might get out if they're convicted, all those things. But if they haven't been convicted of a prior crime, it doesn't matter what they're in for. I can't cooperate by law.
We're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and be back with more with Ian Parkinson.
It's the time of the year that we reflect on how quickly the days, months, and years fly by. It's the end of one new year and the beginning of a new one. We think about the resolutions we made, the ones we kept, and the ones we didn't. Well, as the new year begins, it's time to clean the slate and resolve again. Well, here at Davis Body Shop, our New Year's resolutions haven't changed in over 50 years. And that's why we're still here, while others have come and gone. You see, our New Year's resolutions are simple. Being honest and fair, giving you the best value, and making sure your experience is a pleasant one. Oh, and our 100% satisfaction guarantee? That says it all. Happy New Year from the Davis family. Davis Body Shops on El Camino Real, downtown Atascadero, and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Gold is at an all-time high. Now is the time to take your scrap gold and turn it into cash or trade it in for new jewelry at Bella Jewel Fine Jewelry in Paso Robles. Take the old or broken bracelets, chains, rings, or trinkets that you never wear and go home with cash in your pocket or get an additional 25% off to use towards a new item. Bella Jewel Fine Jewelry is family-owned and located at 1224 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Paso Robles. Open Wednesday through Saturday.
I recently had the best visit with Peter Lussier at Hearing Aid Specialists. He fixed my hearing aid, gave me an efficient hearing test, and adjusted my hearing aids using computer software. I've had my hearing aids for several years. I never felt they were working properly until Peter fixed the issues. The clarity and volume are wonderful now.
If you have hearing aids or need a hearing aid evaluation, call Hearing Aid Specialists of the Central Coast, 805-460-7385, 805-460-7385.
John Stafford Construction and Pest Control, locally owned and operated for over 20 years. Combination of construction, whether it's new construction, remodel, and concrete work, along with pest control, including termites and bird control, and more. Get it done the right way and on time. John Stafford Construction and Pest Control, the one call that does it all. Give John a call, 466-8667.
New year, new keys? Look, if I'm making resolutions, win more money is absolutely on the list. Every Thursday in January from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., three winners every hour can win Tachi Cash or cash. Then at 8 p.m., one lucky winner scores a prize and $5,000 in cash. So yeah, drink more water is cool, but new gear and $5,000 feels like a real new year upgrade. It's keys and cash only at Tachi Palace Casino Resort in Lemoore.
Do you know someone that's working on redoing their yard? Steve Schmidt Topsoil has gift certificates for the do-it-yourselfer in your life. They deliver DG, road base, planter mix for the garden, and products for erosion control for cooler, wetter weather. Give the gift of a beautifully landscaped home. Call Steve Schmidt Topsoil, 805-237-0174, or stop by the Little Red Caboose off the 101.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veeley. I'm a reporter with Cal Coast News, and I'm also do the show on Wednesdays and Thursdays. And today I have Ian Parkinson, our sheriff, trying to clean up some of the misinformation and issues that have been pushed around the country or the community because of immigration officers in the area. I want to real quick go back to the Truth Act forum. So you have to have a forum once a year. And that's just, you just go to the Board of Supervisors, usually, and it's basically ignored, correct?
Yeah, it generally is. But you got to remember something, that until 2025, we had open borders for 4 years. So the interaction with ICE was zero. And the reason why is because ICE was busy at the border checking people in, and the border was open and they were unable to respond. So in 2024, we didn't turn anybody over to ICE because we had open borders and they weren't available to come pick up anyways. So you really, you have a forum to say nothing, you know? So I think the best thing that can happen in those situations is the outreach. Now that our borders are secure and closed and ICE is picking people up, we are following what the law says we're supposed to do. And that's exactly what we have been doing this past year.
And so you're going to have, what's the date of the meeting?
January 27th.
And you'll be the second half after the lunch break.
That's what I understand, yes.
And so you're going to go over, tell me what you're going to go over. And I also want to know, are you going to explain what some of these people were arrested for without giving their names?
Yes.
Could you explain to me what the main, what are you going to do during this forum?
So I plan to provide the stats that we had in 2025, 19 federal warrants, which obviously don't qualify under the Trust Act. And we had 287 detainer notification requests. Of the 287, we complied with 83 because 204 of them did not meet the standard of the Trust Act. We had 11 requests for interviews, and this is what you opened up about, the Truth Act, about having them give us give ICE permission to interview them. We had 11 requests, and none were complied with. All 11 said they didn't want to speak to ICE. And so out of the 83 we complied with, we've turned over 69 releases to ICE in 2025. And so that when you hear a discrepancy, 69, yet we're complying with 83. The remainder of the of that 83 are probably still in custody, or ICE was not available to respond, or in many cases, they were transferred to another county to answer charges, or they were sentenced to state prison. In those cases, they're shipped first, not released by us. They're going to another institute or another county jail.
And because of these rules, does this make it harder for you to, because of some of the rules, would it be easier just to comply with detainers out the back door? Because of the laws in California, does it make it more difficult for your department?
Oh, it does. I mean, it makes it more difficult to marry the two rules of California law versus federal law. It certainly takes a lot more time. We have to have a form to the inmates. We have to notify them that they'll be turned over. They have a right to have somebody notified, an attorney or a personal friend. This is what's happening. There's things that take a lot of time to do from their regular duties and that we have to do. We have to... I mean, obviously, ICE has a right to come into our lobby. We do not communicate with them whatsoever about a release of somebody through the public lobby because they don't qualify. We've had, obviously, protesters. You've done a story of that. We've had to, you know, to really stop the screaming and yelling going on in our lobby. I have two civilian employees that work that entrance area, and They shouldn't be subject to that. That's not what they get paid to do. You could get yelled at Walmart, and it's not acceptable. Jail is no different.
It's stressful. If you're working in a workplace and people are coming in, we're going to take our top of the hour break, and we're going to come back with Ian Parkinson and talk about what it was like in the jail sometimes when the protesters were there and what they've done to clean it up.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.